Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Larry Warder, Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Education. Also joining us in our conversation is Denise Rabin, partner in IBM's financial management practice. Larry, we spent a fair amount of time talking about some of the current programs at the department. I now want to transition to the future. Could you give us a sense of some of the key issues that will affect CFO and budget offices government-wide over the next few years?
Yes, Al. The probably one of the more important ones is the Federal Funding Accountability and Transparency Act. That act requires full disclosure of all entities and organizations receiving federal funds via public, easily searchable, user-friendly website by January 2008. That is a non-trivial exercise to have all that data available for the government, from all of the government, where it's easy for one of us or a grantee or a potential – whoever would like to look at it to easily find who's getting money from government. That's going to get extended in 2009, January 2009, to include data about sub-grantees and subcontractors. Today, we don't have that data. So we're going to have to collect the data, and then we're going to have to be able to report the data and make it available on this website in an easily accessible way. So that's a challenge, and that's something that we're going to work on. We'll meet it, but it's not going to be an easy task.
On a more broader basis, what are some of the major opportunities and challenges that your organization specifically will encounter in the future? And how do you envision your office will evolve over the next few years?
Let me break this into a couple of areas. Certainly one of the areas that face CFOs nationwide, not just in the federal government, compliance regarding internal controls. And we've seen Sarbanes-Oxley. We've seen the government version of that. And it has been a continually more rigorous attestation and review of internal controls. Where that's going to go in the future, I don't know. I mean, the trends would say we're going to continue to get more transparent, that we're going to have to increase the review and assessment of internal control and our reporting of it. But there's also been particularly in the private sector, some kickback that would say it's getting far more expensive than it's worth. Where it's going to go, I don't know. But if it continues to get progressively more stringent, that's going to be a challenge for us to do it. These internal controls are incredibly important. We spend a lot of time on it, on them, but continuing to have to test and report them on an increasingly more rigorous scale, it's going to be expensive and difficult. I look then also at in the future, what's going to be a challenge? Well, the unknown is probably our biggest challenge. Legislation is what drives what we do for the most part. Certainly that and administration policy are the drivers of what we have to do as an organization. So as you're aware, NCLB is in the reauthorization process, and it will, whatever shape it finally takes, cause us to have some different requirements than we have today unless it's reauthorized exactly the same. So we'll have to be able to adapt to that. The department will, and so will the financial organization. Fortunately, we have some very good flexible systems, financial systems in place, so I think we're pretty well prepared to be able to adapt to those changes. I'm not too concerned about that, but it could be a stress to the department depending on how severe these are.
One of the things about the Department of Education is it's sort of in a unique position. It has one of the largest budgets in terms of dollars as a cabinet agency, yet it is one of the smallest in terms of the number of people. Larry, what challenges does this situation present? Specifically, what steps are being taken to attract and maintain a high-quality technical and professional workforce?
Well, it provides a lot of challenges. I don't believe this department could have gotten to its clean opinions and its ability to deal with the large flow of funds that we have in such a timely and efficient manner without a lot of technology. So we've had to rely on technology, and I don't like to use the word we're on the leading edge because I wouldn't say that. We're not trying to be advanced beyond anybody else. We want to be advanced in how we use technology, not necessarily have technology that's advanced beyond the proven state. We want a proven state of technology, but we're aggressive users of it. without it, we would be dead. We would be in great difficulty. Very important to us. Now, that then says we have the obligation, in order to continue to do that, to upgrade our staff, to retrain, to continually monitor our problem areas. We need continual retraining of our grantees. We need continual training of the people who make loans for us out there to meet our requirements. So training is a very important thing, and continuing to refresh our processes and systems and refresh our people on those. That's a real challenge.
Larry, along the same lines, are you concerned about a large wave of pending government retirements over the next couple of years?
Actually, Al, I'm not overly concerned about that. Now, I can't talk department-wide because I haven't looked at all of the data department-wide, but we are aware of people who are eligible to retire. I mean, it's part of the retirement programs, you can tell. So you look at the people who could leave, and you make sure that you have appropriate cross-training of other people into their skills. You don't have only one person who can do something, but you have multiple people who can, so that we don't end up being stuck with a big hole in a process when someone leaves. Secondly, we have a pretty good and open communication with our staff, and they're not the least bit reluctant to say, you know, I expect I'm going to retire the end of next December or the end of next March. Nothing negative ever happens because of that. In fact, we appreciate it, and it helps the transition. So having an open dialogue with our staff has assisted us, I think, in not getting too many surprises around those issues. We always work on succession planning. That's always an issue. It's something that we work on regularly, but we welcome the introduction of new people. I mean, turnover is a problem, but we work it, and we bring new ones in, and sometimes you actually get some improvement because the young folks you hire are much more technically aware and attuned than those of us that grew up with pieces of paper and pencils as opposed to computers. A few of us even grew up before we had calculators that you carried in your pocket or in your briefcase.
Yeah.
That's right. So not only didn't we have computers, we didn't have other things. Well, the migration today is such that generally, when older people in management will say, I want someone who's technically competent, well, that's all you get out of school today. They can't get through university or graduate school without what they think of as technical competence. These are just today's tools.
That's great. Larry, you've obviously had a highly successful career in industry, in consulting, and now at the Department of Education. What advice would you give to a person who is perhaps considering a career in public service?
Well, I guess the first thing I would suggest is the area you're considering in public service something you have a burning desire to go do? This is an avocation. It is a job. It's also something that in public sector you get an opportunity to make a difference in many cases on something on a much broader scale than you would in the private sector. Secondly, I'd say you got to keep current on the issues facing the area in which you want to work. So it's the functional area, what are the issues? What is it that's important if it's education to education? You can't just be a technologist. You also have to be part of the organization. You also then need to keep current on the technologies that will be required in that area. And you could look at defense. Look how rapidly technologies change. You can look across the government and you'll see that. And I'd say you also have to have a tolerance for change. Unlike a lot of, let me call them, stable private sector companies where a management team may be there for 10 or 20 or 30 years or significant components of it, well, we're going to have changes in administration. We're going to have changes in secretaries. We're going to have changes in assistant secretaries. And we're going to get legislative changes thrown in on top of what society does to us, to all of us, whether we're in the private or the public sector. So it's a changing environment. You have to have a taste and a tolerance for it.
That's great. Larry, unfortunately, we've reached the end of our time together. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule this morning. But more importantly, Denise and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country.
Well, thank you very much. And Al, if people have further questions, probably the easiest way to get those answered is go to ed.gov and our PAR, which is our performance and annual report, is out there and available for anybody. And it covers most of these areas quite well.
That's fantastic. Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Larry Warder, Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Education. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.